Okay, Erev Tov to everybody. Hope everyone's well. I hope the weather in Canada is as nice as it's here in Teaneck in New York. It's been a beautiful, beautiful day.
It's beautiful in Toronto. Absolutely beautiful. Fabulous, gorgeous, right. Warm, blue skies, and the leaves are spectacular.
Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
So last week we did an extensive overview of Sefer Melachim, and we spoke about the different parts of the book in terms of an overview, and we divided the book, and we are now going to start chapter one. We're going to read it in depth, chapter one and two, the establishment of King Solomon's reign, and the last days of David, and we spoke about why the book begins with that in terms of the nature of melucha, of monarchy, to be able to transfer the idea of stability. The idea of melucha, monarchy, involves creating a house, a lineage, stability, and all that we spoke about last week. And today we're going to go into depth into the first chapter. And again, depending on, again, our timing, we'll see if we can actually finish the first chapter, or we're going to have to leave some for next week as well. Before we begin the second chapter. So as anyone who's ever studied the Book of Kings knows, the book begins with David on his deathbed. When we saw David last back in the Book of Samuel, so David was already pretty old, but he was still very much, so to speak, functioning, but already at the end of the book of Samuel, many of his avadim, his servants, already were concerned that he should not continue to go out into battle. We know in the story of Avshalom, when David is trying to recapture, many of his servants are very concerned that, you know, he should not go back into battle. So David, when we see him last in the book of Samuel, he's certainly not a spring chicken. He's already gone through a lot in his life. But we don't see him as Zakein. Here at the beginning of the book of Kings begins with a very striking statement. V'amelech David Zakein ba'bayamin. Now, the reader of the Bible immediately associates, as anybody who, you know, hears that resonance immediately thinks, oh, we're talking about just like Abraham, you know, Zakein Baba Yamin. And the Bible is thinking, of course, of the transmission of leadership, which, of course, this is what this chapter is about. So that's a beautiful resonance. One of the reasons Chazal, the rabbis, instituted the Haftarah of Parshat Chaye Sara is this week's parsh, is this perek. This chapter is the Haftarah of Parshat Chaye Sara, which of course describes how Abraham is trying to find a wife for Isaac and pass on the leadership to Isaac, which will allow Abraham to leave the scene, which is exactly what happens. But immediately, the Bible tells us, in contrast to the Abraham story, where Abraham, even in his old age, is very active and very pa'il and very clear about what he wants to happen. And he commands his servant to do this and he commands his servant to do that. At the beginning of the story, the Bible kind of throws us for a loop. It's not like Abraham, where everything is kind of very shaket and very shalev. Everything is very, very peaceful. And now the question is just, will Yitzchak find a wife? Here it's Vayichasu babgadim below Yichamlo. So David cannot be, is being covered with all kinds of begadim, and he's not able to be warm, which again speaks to his frailty. Speaks to, again, we don't see Abraham in his frailty. We see Yitzchak in his frailty at the end of his life. We see Yaakov somewhat in his frailty. But we never see Avraham in his real frailty in the sense of the presentation. And so when it says Va'amelch David Zaken Baba Yamim, I'm expecting, okay, now everything, no. But it hits you right away, literally, no. David is totally incapacitated, and even with the greatest amounts of bigadim, he cannot get warm. Parenthetically, there's also something I think very there's the resonance here by the use of the bigadim. Bigadim in the book of Samuel, as we all know, is one of the key elements of melucha, one of the key elements of monarchy, right? Who will get to be wrapped in the melucha? Shaul, when he turns away from Shmuel, he takes his cloak. It's the sign of melucha, and Shmuel says that your melucha, your monarchy is going to be snatched away from you. It's going to be torn away from you. So there's something in the sense of clothing. And throughout Tanakh, we know that with Yosef, we know that with many other narratives, you know, just like with Shakespeare, you know, clothing off makes the man. Then in this context, of course, clothing is very significant in terms of melucha, of royalty. And so the fact that David cannot be clothed with so many clothing, again, speaks to the frailty, not of just biological frailty, but also the frailty of, okay, is he still king? Is he still able to function as king? Is he able to pass on the melucha? And is he able to pass on the monarchy in the way that is necessary? And immediately, we have this very strange story, which, of course, later on in Tanakh, the author of the book of Esther simply, you know, used as a paradigm, at least literally. So he says, Vayamrulo in Pasuk Bet, Vayamrulo Avadav, Yivakshula Aduni Hamelech Na'ara Betula Ve'amda Lifnei Hamelech, Utihilo Sochenet V'Shachva B'Chaykecha V'Cham La'Aduni Hamelech. That go and find a beautiful woman, a Na'ara Betula, a virgin who will stand and serve the king. This term Sochenet, somebody who will come and help the king, and she'll sleep in your bosom, and V'Cham La'Aduni Hamelech, Vayivakshu Na'ara Yafa B'Chol Tvul Yisrael, Vayimtzu Et Avishag HaShunamit, Vayivio Oto El Hamelech, Va'Na'ara Yafa Ad Me'od, she's very beautiful, Va'Techi LaMelech Sochenet, V'Sheo HaMelech Lo Yida'a. So again, the Bible here speaks to a couple of things. This is a strange narrative, and again, we're going to take it at it from a number of different perspectives, but it's very strange. So David, they look for a woman for David, and it's very strange because in a certain sense, again, it speaks to the frailty of David, because this is not something, you know, when FDR, you know, was in his wheelchair, the whole point, you know, the reporters were not allowed to report on it. When Kennedy was getting shots and wearing a brace, the reporters, there was a kind of tacit pact between the reporters and the government officials that they wouldn't report or show Kennedy in his frailty. And here you go and you basically put it on the internet. You basically say, oh, David HaMelech, he can't get warm. He's very frail. He needs a woman to come and help him. Again, this is very much a very striking way to handle this situation. And what does it speak to? David is very much being used in the sense of he's the one, you know, he's not the one commanding this. It's the avadim. Vayomrulo avadav yivakshu la'adoni hamelech na'ara betula ve'amda lifnei hamelech. Again, it's one of the reasons that the author of the book of Esther basically cut and pasted this story, because again, it's about manipulating a king. Achashverosh is manipulated left and right in the early chapters and in the later chapters. And here too, David in his frailty. I want to go a step further. Who are these anonymous avadim? It says, Vayomru avadav. Who are these anonymous avadim? Nobody really knows who they are. Who exactly? We have many names in this perek, in this chapter, but we don't have the avadim. So some have suggested that we find avadim one more time, that term later on. If you look in verse 9, when the group that coalesces around Adoniyahu So in verse 9, it says, Vayizbach Adoniyahu tzonu bakaru merim evan hazuchelet, asher eitzel ein rogel, vayikrat kol echav b'nei ha-melech, ulechol anshei Yehuda avdei ha-melech. So again, in verse 9, we have these anonymous avdei ha-melech. Again, everyone should, of course, as we said last week, have a Tanakh in front of them. So the avdei ha-melech. So my good friend and very dear friend, and once was and certainly someone who I consider a teacher in many ways, and also a very good friend, Rabbi Menachem Liebtag, once suggested that, oh, you see who the avdei ha-melech really are. They're on the side of Adoniyahu. And those were the people in the palace who were encouraging this strategy, because they wanted to let the entire country know, oh, it's really bad. There's a really bad situation going on in the palace, that David is infirmed and he needs this outside help and things are really bad. And so this is part of their strategy to slowly be able to lay the groundwork that Adoniyahu would be seen as, oh, there's a crisis and, you know, we need to do something, and that to step into the breach. And so the Avadim here, maybe they have a hidden agenda. In addition to helping David specifically, they also want to convey to the entire populace the weakness of David, and what's the term in English? To be enfeebled? The enfeebleness of David. And that's part and parcel of what they wanted to achieve. We'll come back to this story a little bit later, but this is the way the Bible presents these early, this first section here. And immediately, and the Bible tells us, v'hamelech lo yida'ah, which again presents David as not virile and not able to do, which of course is very different than the David fragility. Yeah, the very different than the David that we've come to know in the book of Samuel, who was a warrior, who, you know, who's had many wives, who's had Abigail and Bathsheba and many others. And here we don't have that. Va'adoniyahu ben Chagit, verse 5, mitnasei lemor ani emlo. So first of all, we got to go back a little bit just to know, you know, who the players are, so that we understand, so to speak, mi vamim ha-holchim, who exactly is Adoniyahu and who exactly are the players. So we got to go back to the beginning of Shmuel Bet. Okay, so I think I'll put it on my screen as well. But if you go back to, you take out your Tanakh to Shmuel Bet, I believe Perek, Shmuel Bet, I believe Perek Bet. So let me pull it up here. Pull it up. If everyone, the Bible will list for us. Let me just get my Tanakh, my Mechon Mamre. If I'm not mistaken, in Shmuel Bet, Perek Bet, or Shmuel Bet Perek Gimel, is it Perek Gimel, where we have the list of the children, yes. So if I'm going to, let's go back, let's make this big, let me share my screen. So if you look in Shmuel Bet Perek Gimel, so the Bible says as follows. In Vatihi Milchama, verse 1, Aruka ben Beit Shaul ben Beit David, David alech v'chazek Beit Shaul holchim v'dalim. So Beit Shaul is going and decreasing, while David is increasing, and symbolically he has children. Vayivaldu leDavid banim b'chevron, vayhi b'choro Amnon. Lachinom ha-Yisraelit. Yisrael is not the place up in the Carmel, in the Galil. This is Yisrael near, in the Yehuda. U'mishnehu kil'av. And la'avigayil eshet naval ha-Carmeli. Vashlishi Avshalom ben Ma'acha. Bat Talmai. Melech Geshur, Varvi'i Adoniyahu ben Chagit, Vachamishi Shfataya ben Avital, Vashishi Yitra'am Le'egla Eshet David, Ela Yuldulu David be'Chevron. These were born to David. So again, look at the order. You have Amnon, you have Kil'av, you have Avshalom, and you have Adoniyahu, and then you have Shfatya, and Yitra'am. So, again, if you look at the order, and if you go in the quote unquote birth order, so it makes a lot of sense, right? The first, the first child who was born, was Amnon, who wanted to be, who knows what he wanted to be, but he ended up being dead. He's dead because he rapes his half sister and, Avshalom, kills him. We don't know anything about Kil'av. He's not mentioned again in the biblical story. Did he die early? Was he deformed or something? We don't know. He's simply absent from the story. So once there's no Amnon, then there's Kil'av. It makes perfect sense. Who's the next one who wants to be king when the time arises? It's Avshalom. He's number three. There's no Amnon, there's no Kil'av, so it's Avshalom. Avshalom is also dead. So the next person in line is Adoniyahu. So Adoniyahu is not so far off in assuming he has a right, at least if you go by the simple, the simple order of birth order, to have a right as a shot to be the next king. Remember, Shlomo HaMelech hasn't been born yet. Shlomo's not going to be born until after the sin of David and Bathsheba. So from the perspective of legitimate birth order, Adoniyahu has a case. Now, again, it's a little bit unclear, how far Adoniyahu wanted to go, but we'll get to that in a second. V'Adoniyahu, so let's read it. V'Adoniyahu ben Chagit, verse back to chapter 1, verse 5. Mitnasei lemor. Mitnasei, of course, is a very pejorative term. In modern Hebrew also, lehit nasot means to be arrogant and condescending in modern Hebrew. In this context, it means he lifted himself up. He was mitnasei lechol lerosh, like we say. Lemor ani emloch, I want to reign. Vayaslo rechev ufarashim v'chamishim ish ratzim lefanav. He makes for himself an entourage. V'lo atzavo aviv miyamav lemor madu akachat asita v'gam hu tov tor ma'od v'oto yalda acharei Avshalom. So the Bible makes it very clear that it wants to go out of its way to parallel Adoniyahu to Avshalom. There's a number of parallels. Number one, Avshalom, and many people have written about this. Very little that I'm going to say tonight is a big chiddush here and there. I've said a couple of chiddush, but there's not a big chiddush. Everybody has written on this. Robert Alter wrote on this perek. Nechama Levitz, Zichron Ali Vracha, wrote on this perek. Yisrael Robinson, Rosenson wrote on this perek. Many, many people have written in very wonderful style. So a lot of it is just very, just close reading of the perek. So it's very clear, just as, David, first of all, David is presented here again as very frail and non-active. V'lo atzavo aviv miyamav lemor madua kachata. David never stopped him, never said anything, David never said anything. David never went at that point. He never tried to stop Avshalom. Adoniyahu. Just as David had not stopped Amnon, which led to the rise of Avshalom. Remember, David didn't stop Amnon, and even after he raped Tamar, he didn't do anything. So that was considered, fault of David. They're both described, both Avshalom and Adoniyahu are described as very, very handsome. Here is described as Tov Toar Ma'od. He comes out of central casting. He's certainly appropriate to be a king in terms of his looks, just like Shaul, and just like Avshalom, who was very beautiful. And remember, Avshalom was also very arrogant in the sense that he also cut his hair and he would weigh his hair. All that stuff that we remember from the book of Shmuel. Also, just like, again, we said, Avshalom was number three in line. After the death of Amnon, Kilav is inappropriate or it doesn't appear. So now we have Avshalom. So the next in line was Adoniyahu. So it's perfectly continues. Both of them begin the rebellion when the Papa Bear is still alive, meaning it's not a rebellion or a fight after the death. And there's a machloket and there's a debate and a fight about who will rule. It's during the time that the father is still alive. David HaMelech was fully alive when Avshalom, he wasn't sick at all. And here when David is still sick, but he's still alive. So there's the parallel in that way. Both of them do merkavot. So for example, here the Bible says that ani emloch ufarashim v'chamishim ish ratzim lefanav, which again reminds us of, if you look in Shmuel Bet, Perek Yudalid. So if you look back in Perek Yudalid, you'll see the same thing that Avshalom makes, Perek Yudalid Pasuk Tedvav. Avshalom does the same thing of making Merkavot and making Parashim in front of him. And of course, also, if we look back, they both do something that is considered an attempt to usurp the Malucha. If you remember, Avshalom sleeps with the concubine of David. And later on in chapter 2, we're going to see that Adoniyahu asks to have Avishag as his wife, which again is an attempt to continue to challenge the authority of the Malucha and to be able to be the king. So the Bible is clearly trying to parallel it. And then it says, the oto yalda, charei Avshalom. I mean, it kind of hits you on the head that Adoniyahu is Avshalom in point two. Now, this is very, very, you know, not a good thing. You don't want to be in the Avshalom character. Avshalom was somebody who wanted to kill his father. Adoniyahu, we never get an indication he wants to kill his father, but the fact that he's being parallel to Avshalom certainly makes him very, very negative in the eyes of the writer of Sefer Malachim. Vayudvara, verse 7. Im Yoav ben Tzruav, im Eviatar HaKohen, vayazru acharei Adoniyahu. V'tzadok HaKohen, uvnayad ben Yodav, v'natan HaNavi, v'shim'i, v'rei, v'agiborim, v'shod David, lo hayu im Adoniyahu. So we have, you know, the two teams. You know, who are the starting five for each one? So Adoniyahu has Yoav, who used to be the, remember, the whatchamacallit, the general of who was the chief of staff of David, even though David is very critical of Yoav, because Yoav murdered Avner, and Yoav did this, and Yoav did that. So even though there's a lot of criticism, Yoav was still a very strong person. Yoav was the one who saved David from death a number of times. Yoav is the one who tries to bring Avshalom back into the good graces of David. But ultimately, Yoav is the one who kills Avshalom and saves David, and says to David, get up and stop mourning. Because Yoav, as we saw when we learned the book of Shmuel, Yoav is interested in the stability of the government, in the stability of Malchut Yehuda. And he understands that the fragility of David needs to be addressed right now. And so therefore, I think he made a very straight up political calculation that it was critical that there should be Hemshechiyut. And therefore, at this point, let us appoint Adoniyahu. He's the most legitimate heir. He's the next one in line. We have not heard anything about Shlomo since he was born. We don't know whether Shlomo, we have no reason to know whether Shlomo HaMelech, what we call Shlomo HaMelech, is fit to be the king. We have not heard anything about him. We don't hear anything about him in the story of Avshalom. We don't hear anything about him at the end of the book of Samuel. So it makes a lot of sense that Yoav and Eviatar HaKohen would follow the one who they thought would have the best chance to ensure stability of the government of Malchut Yehuda, etc. That we have to make sure that the country remains unified, etc. On the other hand, Sadok and Benayahu and Natan stay with David. Now, again, if you would make a chart, and many people have done this, you notice there's one glaring omission on the side of Avshalom. Avshalom has a Kohen, the ones who are against Avshalom, i.e. the David forces, have a Kohen. This one has a Giborim, and this one has Giborim. The main difference is prophet. P-R-O-P-H-E-T. David has Natan Hanavi on his side. Even though we don't see God communicating in this chapter with David or with Natan, which tells you that it's not necessarily God kind of left it to the machinations of human beings like he often does to figure out what the right thing to do is. It is very striking that on the side of David is a prophet. So if in, on their starting five is a prophet in a way that it doesn't exist on the side of Avshalom, which tells you something, because eventually for a king to be accepted as king, he has to be approved by God and by the people. He has to have the support of the people and he has to have support of the king, of God. That's what it says. Som tasim alecha melech asher yivchar Hashem. That's what it says in the book of Deuteronomy. Put yourself a king who God ultimately accepts. Now, God can accept lechatchila. He tells you who to appoint. God tells Shmuel, go and appoint Shaul. God tells Shmuel, go and appoint David. Or God can give a retroactive stamp of approval. Yes, this was a good thing. And it all works out because God says it's good in my eyes as well, what's happened. And so the fact that on the side of David is a prophet on the Davidic, you know, forces is a hint that these are the guys who are going to win out in the story. And these are the guys who should be, looked at as the more legitimate heirs. The Bible now gets into four scenes from verse 9 up until like verse 38, 39. We have four scenes of where we are told objectively what Adoniyahu does. We're then told how it's told by Natan HaNavi to Bathsheba. Then we're told how Bathsheba tells it to David, and then how Natan tells it to David again. So we have four scenes, and there's such richness here in reading it carefully to see the slight differences between each scene, each stage of the telling of the same event. This is something that the Abarbanel was one of really the first Parshanim who really was one of the first to systematically notice these things. And then people like the Malbim and the Nitziv and others, they are very much aware of these small differences. And again, as I mentioned, many of them have kind of been summarized in, there's an essay of Nechama Leibovitz in her Iyunim on Parshat Chaye Sara, because it is the Haftarah. This perek is the Haftarah of Parshat Chaye Sara about transitions. And it's also in the famous book by Robert Alter, The Art of Biblical Narrative, there's a couple of pages in it's in the 98, 99, I have it in front of me, 100, where he also uses this as a type case of how you have to carefully read how there's an incremental movement in a narrative where you're telling, quote unquote, the same event or the same story, but with slight changes in order to achieve certain goals. So let's read the story carefully. And again, note a lot of the changes as we go through it. And we'll notice a couple of things on the way as well. So verse 9. Vayizbach Adoniyahu tzonu bakar umari. So he offers korbanot, which is a sign of a simcha, a sign of a celebration. Im even hazochelet asher etzel ein rogel. Ein rogel is outside of the city. Ein rogel, exactly, you know, where it is a little bit unclear, but you know, it's just outside, probably a little bit of the city. And he offers this, which again is an interesting thing. We're going to see the contrast with Shlomo, but it's Ein Rogel is right outside of the city, meaning that Adoniyahu does not yet have enough support to actually be in the city and do it. He's not in Jerusalem. Jerusalem and is the city, you know, of David or Ir David, whatever you want to call it. Ir David, he doesn't do it in Ir David. He's still tentative. You got to be, you know, if anybody ever watched the movie Valkyrie with, you know, about the coup, they tried to kill Hitler, Yimach Shemo, and they weren't successful. Again, they moved in, you know, if this and this happens, then we can do this. Different stages of the coup. And when something, you know, they didn't first just go in and just do the coup. So, Vayikrat kol echav b'nei ha-melech, ulechol anshei Yehuda avdei ha-melech. So he calls all of his brothers, except for Shlomo. Probably because Shlomo, I think, was not seen as significant enough, or because he was seen already as, you know, as not, would not be supportive. Maybe Shlomo already had indicated, or Bathsheba had indicated. We don't know from the text. Vet Natan Anavi uBnayahu vet Hagiborim vet Shlomo Achiv lo kara. Okay, so that's stage one. We're presented with the facts, and the facts are what we know so far. We know in verse 6 that if you look in verse 5, I'm sorry, in verse 5, Vadoniyahu ben Chagit mitnase lemor ani emloch. He was boasting that I want to, or I will become king. But again, what does that mean? I'll become king when David dies. I'll become king when they appoint me. And he made himself a little entourage. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that he took an active step. That's the first thing we now there's a second step. He actually took an active step. He did a kind of, you know, it's like when today in democracy, politicians, they do what they call an exploratory committee, which means they're going to run and they just want to test the waters. Vayizbach Adoniyahu tzonu bakar muri im even azochelet asher etzel ein rogel. Vayikra et kol achav b'nei ha-melech v'lchon shiyudu avdei ha-melech. He calls everybody. Vet natan ha-naviyu b'nayahu lo kara. Second stage, second scene. Vayomer natan al Bathsheba em Shlomo lemor. Halo shamata ki malach Adoniyahu ben Chagit. Va'adoneinu David lo yada. So first of all, notice already there's a progression. Natan makes it much more urgent. He says, halo shamata ki malach Adoniyahu ben Chagit. He's already reigning as king. Again, it's pushing it a little bit. We haven't seen him necessarily reigning. We've seen him organizing a little bit, having a couple of meetings, getting together all his supporters. Vadoneinu David lo yada, which of course is a play on the beginning of the chapter. In the beginning of the chapter, David lo yada, he didn't have sexual relations with the woman, which again reflected David's inability, his fragility and his inability to be a virile person. On the other hand, here it also speaks to David doesn't know. David is being manipulated. David doesn't know. Ve'ata l'chi yatzech na etza u'malti et nafshech v'et nefesh b'nech Shlomo. Second thing, he ups the ante by saying you guys are in trouble. You're in mortal danger if Adoniyahu is allowed to continue his plan. So this already are two things that we haven't seen, that there's actual danger to, okay? L'chi u'bo'i el ha-melech David, v'amarte lev halo ata Adoni ha-melech nishbata la'matecha le'mor. You should go to the king and say, and again, it's interesting that we never find evidence in the book of Samuel that this actually took place, that Nishbata la'matecha le'mor ki Shlomo b'nech yimloch acharai v'hu yeshev al kisi. We never find explicitly that David made such a shvua. Now, does that mean that the shvua never took place? I have no idea. I do know that it is fascinating that it doesn't appear. I know that it doesn't appear in the book of Samuel. Now, you could say that it did happen. And for literary reasons, the book never told us about it in the book of Samuel, because in the book of Samuel, it wasn't really interested in focusing on the future of who would be the king yet, or because it wanted, and this is possible, and we'll get back to it maybe later tonight, maybe it's also part of the fact that the book of Samuel downplays very much David, you know, taking care of Bathsheba and Shlomo HaMelech. The book tells us that Shlomo is born and that's it. There's no more. We don't know anything more. Did he give Bathsheba a beautiful house? Did he take it? Bathsheba does not appear after the death of the first child. And David takes her as his wife. And then God said, you know, and then he has Shlomo HaMelech and that's it. The rest of the book of Shmuel, we don't hear anything about Shlomo. We don't hear anything about Bathsheba. We don't know anything. So again, does that reflect the fact that from the perspective of the book of Samuel, David did not really take care of Bathsheba and Shlomo, either out of shame, or it constantly reminded him of the sin, or because he was ambivalent about the future? Who knows? But that is the way the book of Shmuel presents it. So either this didn't happen, and Natan is taking advantage of David's memory and saying something that didn't happen, but it was important, so important, or more likely it had happened, but the book of Samuel had downplayed it because that wasn't the agenda of the book of Samuel, or presented David, just like it holds back information. The Bible does this all the time. Here's a famous example. Right? Soon, not so soon, but in a couple of weeks, we're going to get to the Joseph story. And in the Joseph story, the brothers throw Joseph into the boar, into the pit. And they go to eat. And then they sell Joseph. But later on, when the brothers, a couple of chapters later, when they go down to Egypt and the goblet is found in Binyamin's, they start to fight amongst each other. And they say, you know, avol ashemim anachnu, we're guilty that we didn't hear the cry of our brother when he called out to us from the boar. Now, why didn't the Bible tell us in chapter 37 that Joseph cried out from the boar when they threw him in? Because I assume that really happened, that Joseph cried out. And the answer is, of course, from a literary point of view, it's very powerful, because in chapter 37, they didn't listen. They didn't care about Joseph's. Yeah, they heard it physically, but they were unmerciful to Joseph, and they didn't really care about his cry, and it didn't come up in their mindset. They were simply oblivious to it. But later on, years later, when they start to have pangs of guilt, now they recall the crying with regret. So that's a technique the Bible uses all the time. Flashback, holding back information. So too here. They're holding back information, possibly because in the book of Shmuel, it wasn't important to include that, or it was dafka important to exclude it in order to highlight the mistake of David and the fact that David didn't necessarily develop what he should have with Bathsheba and taking care. Okay. So now the Bible tells us what, so Natan HaNavi says, to Bathsheba, v'yata l'chi I atzeich na eitzah u'malti et nafshech v'et nefesh b'neich Shlomo, l'chi u'bo yelamelech David v'amart elav, verse 13. Halo ata adoni ha-melech nishbat ala matecha le'imor ki Shlomo b'neich yimloch acharai v'hu yeshev al kisi, u'madu ha-malach Adoniyahu. Why is Adoniyahu being a king? So, again, the important thing, Natan adds the Shvua, of course, which is central, and he, of course, adds the idea, not just that he's come together, but that he's come together and decided to be king. That he, madua malach Adoniyahu. Why malach Adoniyahu? And that's how he started in verse 12. Halo, in verse 11. Halo shamata, shamat ki malach Adoniyahu v'adoneinu David lo yada. And then he says, I'm going to manipulate it. I'm going to fill in either to repeat what you say or add material. Scene 3. Vatavo Bathsheba El Hamelech Hachadra. She goes in. Vahamelech Zakein Ma'od. the Avishaga Shunamit Vesharet the Melch, which of course is an amazing scene. Bathsheba, his wife, comes in at the same time that Avishag is taking care of the king, which again is again interesting. We'll talk about it, I hope soon, or if we get to it tonight or next week, the interplay between Bathsheba and Avishag. And again, it's very interesting that her name is Bathsheba. We don't ever know why she's called Bathsheba back in Shmuel, but it's interesting that she is the daughter of a Sheva. Sheva, as you know, is both seven, but it's also a play in Hebrew on Shvua, like Be'er Sheva, Hisham Nishba Avraham, because there Abraham made a series of oaths. So the fact that it's Bathsheba who is now going to mention the oath. This time it's not just Zakein as we started, but Zakein Ma'od. He's very, very, which again makes you think David is on the precipice of death. In the beginning he was Zakein, now he's Zakein Ma'od. In the beginning he was Zakein Baba Yamim, which gave you the impression things were going to be great, and now it's even worse. Verse 16. Again, all the language here is then borrowed by the author of the Megillah, Malach Esther. Notice, she adds a word already to what Natan said. Natan said, Nishbata. You know, you should say to the king, she embellishes it. But then she adds even more. Okay. Vayizbach shor umeri vitzon larov. In the objective story, it just says vayizbach. Son Ubakar Umari. But she says, makes it as if this is not just a little, you know, like a, this is not just like a little kiddush. This was like a graduation kiddush. This is like a Simchas Torah kiddush. He made it that this is the inauguration kiddush. It's not just a little kiddush. Vayikra lechol b'nei hamelech, ulevyatar kohen liyov asar tzava. And he called Yoav Sarat Tzava, Laviatara Kohen, right? So he called these people. He called and Anshe Yehuda. She doesn't mention that. It says, Vayikrat Kol Echav B'nei, right? Yoav, Eviatar, etc. Uliyov Sarat Tzava, Velishlomo Avdecha Lo Kara. She adds, Lishlomo Avdecha, your worthy servant. V'ata, Adonai HaMelech, Einecho Yisrael Alecha, Lagid Lehem, Mi Yeshev Al Kisei Adonai HaMelech Acharav. V'ya Kishchav, Adonai HaMelech, Im Avotav, V'yiti Ani Uveni Shlomo Chataim. So she presents what Natan said, but she embellishes it. She adds to it. She puts it in a certain context and, of course, lays it on the line. She's speaking with the king. Venatana Navi ba. Vayagidu lamelech lemor. Hine Natana Navi. Vayavol ifne amelech. Vayishtachavu lamelech ala pav arza. Vayomer. And clearly, at this point, Bathsheba goes out. Again, interesting, because she's going to come back. So she goes out. Ki arad. Vayomer Natana Adonai HaMelech. Ata amarta Adonai HaMelech. Notice Natan cannot speak about the Shavua, because how is he supposed to know about the Shavua that David gave to Bathsheba, unless Bathsheba told Natan, which is probably what happened. But it would be presumptuous of him to know about this Shavua. So he doesn't mention the Shavua, but what he does say is, did you? He can ask in a kind of innocent fashion, Ata amarta adoni, adoniyahu yimloch acharai, v'hu yeshev al kisi? Did you say that he's going to rule? Ki yarad hayom, Vayizbach shor meriv atzon larov. Again, he adds the larov. Vayikra l'chol b'nei melech l'sarei atzavah l'vatar kohen v'inam ochlim v'shotim l'fanav. He adds, again, the embellishment of what happens. They're eating in front of him. They're having a great time. Vayomru yichi ha-melech Adoniyahu. It never says that in the objective story. It just says, in the objective story that's presented, it's presented as, you know, that that, you know, he went and he gathered these people. It never says in the objective story that they said, Yechi Adoni, HaMelech Adoniyahu. Now, again, it could be that that did actually happen. It could be that maybe one or two, you know, like sometimes, you know, you have a rally and somebody holds up a really stupid or disgusting poster. And then you publicize it as if everybody in the rally was behind that poster. The same thing. And maybe one guy in the back said, Yechi Adoniyahu HaMelech, and they, and Natan is projecting it on all of them, or they really said it, or Natan is saying this is what probably happened, or he wants to present it in the worst possible light. They didn't just have a strategy session. They actually crowned Yechi HaMelech Adoniyahu. Veli ani avdecha, again, your servant. The key word is servant. Okay? Uletzadoka kohen v'lenavi Yehuda v'lishlomo avdecha, again, your servants. These people are not your servants. We're your servants, lo kara. In May 8, Adoni HaMelech niyad davar zeh v'lo datet avdecha miyeshiva kisei. Did you not let us know? Again, the key word in this, one of the key words in this perek is yidiyah, knowledge. David doesn't know. He's not able to have sexual relations with the woman. David doesn't know what's going on with Adoniyahu. Lo atzavo, right? From the very beginning, David did not put he didn't put a stop to what he was doing. Right, lo atzavo aviv miyamav, to say madua kacha asita. He never said that. And David lo yada, David lo yada, and here too, you did not make known to your, is this your will? And of course, at this point, and here's the mifne, here's the great shift where we have the text, so to speak, David, this is like the perek, you know, the shift in the book of Esther, here too, the shift of David, who turns from a fragile, very, very, a person who's being manipulated the whole time, even with Natan and Bathsheba in a certain way, David becomes once again HaMelech David, so to speak, gets that last burst of energy in his life for the next perek and a half. Vayan HaMelech David Vayomer Kir'uli LeBathsheba, which of course is fascinating. To this and this, Adoniyahu Lo Kara, he didn't call them. Now David calls Bathsheba, Kir'uli LeBathsheba, who had gone out. Vatavo lifnei HaMelech, Vatamod lifnei HaMelech, Vayishava HaMelech Vayomer. So now he makes another Shavua. So there's a Shavua in the past, and there's a Shavua now. Vayomer, Chai Ani. Chai Hashem, excuse me. Chai Hashem, Ashepadat Nafshimi Kol Tzara, Ki Kashen Ishbati Lach Bashem Lohei Yisrael Leimor, Ki Shlomo Bneichim Loch Acharai, Vuhu Yeshev Al Kisi Tachtai, Ki Chein Haseyom Azer. I'm going to do it now. So David is no longer in the process of discussion, no longer in the process of what's going to happen, but he's going to do it now. Kikein esayom azeh. Vatikod Bathsheba paim eretz. Vatishtachu lamelech. Vatomer yichi adoni hamelech David leolam. Which of course is the kind of total contrast to yichi adoniyahu hamelech leolam, which is the way Natan, not leolam, but Natan presented it as, you know, that the people have come, these people have come and said, Yechi HaMelech Adoniyahu. But here it's Yechi HaMelech David Le'olam. Because since you are the one deciding who will be the next king. So that's a hemsheikh of you, as opposed to somebody usurping it without your permission or your direction. Okay. And of course, you have a lot of, notice the active verbs, kir'uli, and he does this, hu yeshev al kisi, and he says, yichi adoni ha-melech le'olam, forever. And now we have all these verbs, vayomer ha-melech David, kir'uli le'tzadok ha-kohen le'atan av-yav le'vnayal ben Yehuda, vayavo le'vnay ha-melech, kir'uli, in contrast to what Avshalom did, kir'uli, kir'uli. Vayomer ha-melech lahem, kichu imachem et avdei adoneichem, v'irkavtem et Shlomo b'yal ha-pirda, asher li, v'horadetem oto el gichon. In contrast to Ein HaRogel, which is outside the city, I want you to go to the Gichon. Gichon is, if anyone's ever visited Israel, it's in the city, it's in Ir David, it's the water basin there in Ir David. Vayomer ha-melech lahem, kichu avdei adoneichem, in contrast to the avdei Yehuda, now take the avdei adoneichem, your master, which means the ones who are loyal to David. If you're kaftim et Shlomo ben Yael ha-pirda sherli, v'oradetem oto el Gichon, u'mashachoto, you should anoint him, mashachoto sham tzadok ha-kohen, v'natan avi l'melech al Yisrael, utkatem ba-shofar, v'amartem yichi ha-melech Shlomo. Blowing the shofar is malchut. This is one of the major sources. When we talk about on Rosh Hashanah, what's the symbolism of the shofar? The symbolism of the shofar is hamlachat hamelech, the coronation of the king, which is exactly here. Va'alitem acharav, ubav yashav al kisi. So not only will you do this on the moment, at the spot, you will also bring him back, and I will sit him on my chair during my life. He will be a co-regent with me. He will reign together with me, even if it's for a few weeks. Which is a very striking phrase. This is the same phrase that was used by Shaul when God and Shmuel said to Shaul, you will be the Nagid al Yisrael. And here David says, uses the language of God. Siviti liot Nagid al Yisrael al Yehuda. Vayan b'nayahu ben Yehoyada tamalach v'yomar amein kein yihi ratzon. Amein kein yomar Hashem Elohei Adoni HaMelech. So too God should approve of this. Kasher ya Hashem im Adoni HaMelech kein yeim Shlomo v'gadel et kiso mikisei Adoni HaMelech. And they go and do this. V'yered Tzadok HaKohen v'natan avim v'nayam v'nayadah v'akreti v'apleti, which are kind of the palace guard. V'yarkivu et Shlomo v'pirdat HaMelech v'yalich oto gichon v'yikach Tzadok HaKohen et keren Hashemen min ha'ohel v'yimshach et Shlomo vayitku b'shofar vayomru kolam yichi hamelech adon hamelech Shlomo, the king. And this time it's not anybody else. He assures that it's done, and the people, because we have no indication that the people, as opposed to Avshalom, who had gotten a very, very strong following because of the upsetness with David for whatever reason, things that had happened, Adoniyahu never had a following. We know that there was some of the palace people who were in favor of him. Yoav and Tzadok HaKohen, Aviatar HaKohen, and this one and that one. But we don't know anything. We don't have any indication that there was a popular movement. Here, after Vayomru Kolam, Yichi HaMelech Shlomo. Vayalu Kolam Acharav Am Chalalim B'Chalalim Usmechim Simcha Gdola V'Tibaka Haaretz B'Kolam. Okay. Im Yirtz Hashem, next week, I want to revisit this perek and add an entire another strata to the learning of the perek. We did now the first strata of this perek in terms of the movement between the different political factions and how things progressed. So next week we'll add another strata to that. Plus then we'll do the end of the perek in terms of Adoniyahu's reaction, which will set us up for the next perek, the beginning of perek bet, and we'll try to go further in terms of that. I wish everybody a wonderful rest of the week. So next week we have the same class at the same time, Im Yirtz Hashem. In 2 weeks, November, what is it, 16th? Is 2 weeks November 16th? So in 2 weeks, I have to do parent-teachers conferences in the school that I work at. So we'll take a break. And then we'll come back the next Wednesday, Erev Thanksgiving in the United States. I think the Canadian Thanksgiving is in a different time. And we'll continue our learning of the Prakim. I wish everybody a wonderful week and a wonderful Shabbat.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you.